We're glad you're here with us to join in on learning ways to incorporate true ideas into our daily path. And that includes our encounters with others, our daily experiences, conditions. How does God's way replace mankind's way of reacting to our outer activities? The title of today's lesson, Pierce the Veil of Matter, taken from Joel Goldsmith. What does that have to do with each of us? What is the veil of matter? Who was Goldsmith? Why should we pay attention or be interested in his insight? Well, we can start with a person who came to Jesus with basically the same questions. This was Nicodemus, a Pharisee, someone who loved the scripture that we call the Old Testament. As a Pharisee, he was a leader in the synagogue, highly respected. The Bible says he's wealthy. He heard about this person named Jesus, and he felt strongly that he wanted to speak with him about the sacred writings, the Old Testament, which had been protected and valued and handed down through the centuries. However, the leaders of the synagogue did not like Jesus. They considered him a threat. And they said anybody who goes and speaks with him can be expelled from the synagogue. And so Nicodemus risked a lot by coming to Jesus. It says in John, he came by night. Think how dark it must have been in 2,000 years ago at night. The leaders of the Jewish community had nothing to do with this upstart Jesus. He didn't respect them. He didn't follow their laws, certainly about activities on the Sabbath. He talked with women, even a Samaritan woman at the well. And yet, Nicodemus, with all these risks, came to Jesus to have this exchange. Now, in a way, it's like us when we come to Quimby Church. We come to hear a message of truth, hoping we can find some meaningful help to take home with us, so we can pray more effectively. Maybe to help somebody we love. And then, like Nicodemus, we sometimes hear something completely unexpected. Jesus knew who Nicodemus was, why he was there. And instead of having this interesting discussion about subjects that were of mutual importance, Jesus refused this possibility and went straight to pure truth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we're going to see that this is the same concept that Goldsmith had. Each person must pierce the veil of matter. Nicodemus immediately took this statement literally and asked Jesus, "How can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "This is not a physical rebirth. It is a spiritual birth, a way to see the outer world in a brand new way." And one example that he gave later was to Peter, who grew up under Moses' law. Of repaying somebody who hurts you with an eye for an eye. Give back the same as somebody gave you. And this born again concept Jesus told Peter was forgive 70 times 7. In biblical code for numbers, this means infinitely. No revenge, no punishment. Jesus knew this is such a radically different way to think and feel. It was as dramatic as being born again. Now, as we look at the veil of matter, we know that matter refers to material, earthly, things of the outer world. Matter, or material, also includes relationships among human beings, among animals. It includes our bodies, the health of our bodies, living arrangements. It refers to our earthly situation. Matter doesn't form itself and then come into our lives. And then we look at it and we assign a good or bad label. From Irvin Seal, every Sunday in your program, we're reminded it isn't the condition that affects us. It's how we react to that condition. It's our mood. One of the founders of divine science, Nona Brooks, calls it consciousness. And she says consciousness is the established attitude. Nothing changes in the outer world until we change our established attitude. In divine science, we say first in mind, then in manifestation. That's why Jesus did not have an interesting conversation about an area of Nicodemus's expertise, scripture. Jesus knew that Nicodemus' consciousness would not be changed. All this teaching would remain in his intellect, and his heart would be untouched. Jesus knew that until the feeling nature was engaged, nothing in our outer world would change. Piercing the veil of matter means realizing there's something going on that's more than I'm aware of. That's why Jesus said, judge not by appearance. The appearance is in our lives because it responds to our consciousness. It seems real. Our five senses can tell you all about it. Yet this is describing man's world. Matter has only the power we give it with our attention, with our established attitude. Jesus Christ came to show us God's world. He called it the kingdom of heaven. It's always with us, closer than breathing. And he pierced the veil of matter, as shown in his healings, in which he paid no attention whatsoever to what his eyes saw. He said to the man, paralyzed for 38 years, arise, what hinders thee? And the man got up and walked away. The strength of Jesus Christ's understanding communicated with the paralyzed man, who let go of the world of appearance, the world of matter, and God's laws of good already in place were revealed. When we get in the habit of noticing our involvement with man's way of thinking and feeling, we can find that we are always wanting to fix something, to change it for the better. And this is the perfect way to stay glued to man's ways. Spiritual people recorded this in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis. Man has access to all good in the Garden of Eden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of duality, of wanting something to be different, better. And seeing, which is one of man's senses, only part of a picture. We think we see the whole, and we think we know what's best, what's missing. When the paralyzed man came to Jesus, or when Jesus walked by, Jesus did not deal with the man's body to heal it. He pierced the veil of matter and knew the perfection of spirit with no limitations. How could something need to be changed when all of God's presence is everywhere, active, the only power, and filled with love? Jesus did not turn to God and pray that God would restore the the health of this man. He did not address anything in the outer world of matter. What did he do? He loved God, praised God, recognized God, thanked God, and the harmony and divine order of the presence on the other side of the veil was revealed. the man was restored. We call this invisible place of all good heaven. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not a place we go to after we die. Heaven is fully here, accessible to all. And this is not some far-fetched idea reserved only for mystics. Jesus' first students, his disciples, were fishermen. And if you've known any fishermen, commercial fishermen, usually they're not interested at all in things of the Spirit. Jesus touched them, and they were drawn to this inner truth. And they simply, he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They dropped their nets. Peter, who was then Simon, and his brother. And their father said, fine. Which is amazing, because think of losing two young, strong men. They all knew that there was something that was taking place. And they had to follow this man. They were drawn to the truth in Jesus and the Christ, and the truth in themselves was so strong it could not be ignored. In fact, they were born again. They were able to pierce the veil of matter. These average citizens, just like us. And in the 3 years they were studying with the Master, they got it. As to Joel Goldsmith, who is he, and why should we pay attention? He was a Christian Science practitioner with many healings. He was also a businessman. One day his partner said, you know, Joel, you're getting more calls for your church work than for your business. And so Joel decided he would become a full-time Christian Science practitioner. Now, Mary Baker Eddy founded Christian Science, and she had been healed by P.P. Quimby. And she stayed and studied with him. And then she left and founded Christian Science. And she was very strict. You could only read writings by Mary Baker Eddy and the Bible. Well, Goldsmith was very successful in healing. In fact, I read once that someone sent him mailed him a letter asking for healing, and before the letter even arrived, the man was healed. Dr. Salazar said that he would be in his office sometimes at the church when he was a minister in Washington, D.C., and someone would call and say, thank you for your prayers, my problem disappeared. And he didn't know who the person was or what the problem was. He simply knew on a regular basis the presence of God. I don't know how he formed it in his mind. It's a continuous activity to notice when we're off the path, and we have a choice to get back on. To summarize, Dr. Salazar says, the world cannot be fixed. It can only be transcended by the individual consciousness. Nicodemus came to talk to Jesus about the world that Nicodemus knew, the world of matter, and how Scripture relates to it. Jesus Christ only knew and valued the invisible world of divine spirit, where all is already in divine order. Connecting with this inner spiritual world floods us with love and peace, which sets up a new vibration which then attracts new experiences to us. And what is not of God dissolves. Let us pray. Loving Creator, thank you for creating each one of us. We ask for your help to grow closer to you. So it is. Amen.